I want to say a word before I read our scripture today. I want to say a word about Preston and Abby as they make their preparations to go to Guatemala. Preston and Abby have made a very courageous commitment to serve the kingdom of Jesus Christ far from home in Guatemala. And we're all missionaries. All of us, every Christian is a missionary, and we are all called to take the good news of Jesus Christ to those that God brings into our path, into our circle of influence. And in a sense, we are all cross-cultural missionaries. Not all of us are going to go to Guatemala or Papua New Guinea, but there's two kinds of missionaries. There's goers and there's senders. And we're not all called to be goers in the cross-cultural sense, but we can be senders, supporting both with prayer and financial support those who go in cross-cultural mission. So I really want to challenge you today to pray about both financial support and prayer support for Preston and Abby. They need both. And so pray about a commitment, a monthly pledge that you would be able to make. And you may not be able to make a really big pledge, but it takes a lot of small pledges added together to support missionaries like this. This is a unique opportunity for our congregation because we are sending them. And so I really challenge you to pray about what you can do to help Preston and Abby get to Guatemala. Now, turn with me, if you will, to the New Testament and the book of Acts. I mentioned that this past week on Thursday was Ascension Day. And the classic text for the Ascension is Acts chapter 1 and verses 1 to 11. So I invite you now to open your ears, open your heart, and hear the Word of God. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his sufferings with many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, when will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the heavens? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me now for prayer? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus is on the Mount of Olives with his disciples. Now remember, it was from the Mount of Olives that Jesus began his triumphal entry into Jerusalem weeks earlier on Palm Sunday. And at that time, the disciples of Jesus thought Jesus was going into Jerusalem to take charge politically. He was going to set up his kingdom. He was going to put down evil. He was going to reign with righteousness and justice. He was going to restore the kingly reign of God over his people Israel. He was going to clean out the corruption, and he was going to bring in the peace and the love and the justice and the righteousness of the kingdom of God. That wasn't Jesus' plan, because instead of doing that, Jesus had a very different way of establishing his kingdom. He went to the cross, where he laid down his life for the sins of the world, and then he was raised from death to life. And Luke tells us that during that 40-day interval between resurrection and ascension, during that 40-day interval, Jesus has been teaching them about the kingdom of God. So in a way, it makes sense that when they get back to the Mount of Olives and Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, it sort of makes sense that the disciples said, "Will you now," see, they still got their mind locked in on, "You're going to set up your kingdom right now. Will you now establish the kingdom right here in Jerusalem? Will you restore the kingdom to Israel?" That's really another way of asking, "Lord, are you going to fix everything now? The world is a mess. We are ruled by corrupt political leaders. We are oppressed by Rome. Our people are afflicted with every kind of sin and rebellion against God. Lord, are you going to do it now? Are you going to fix the world? Are you going to establish your reign? Do it now." Now, 2,000 years later, and a whole lot of people are wondering the same thing, aren't we? And we live in anxious times. Our country was already deeply divided about a lot of things, and now we found one more thing to be divided about: the COVID-19 pandemic and the shutdowns involved. And are they going too far? Are they going not far enough? We found something new to be anxious about and be divided over. And the troubling thing is that, in many ways, our response to the COVID-19 pandemic in some ways has drawn us together, but in other ways is pulling us apart. People are divided along predictable political lines. Fear of the virus is sometimes overwhelmed by the concern that the world is falling apart. Well, I want to take us back to the 4th century after the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, the 4th century A.D. And you may have noticed lately that I've been returning to this time a lot. It's the time of Augustine of Hippo. And I keep returning to this period in Christian history because I think we can learn a lot from them. It was the time of the twilight of the Roman Empire. Christians had once been persecuted by Rome, but by the 4th century, Rome had become Christian. The emperors were Christian. Many Christians, along with everybody else, believed that the empire would endure forever. After all, they were Christian. They should have the blessing of God. But it was exposed as Rome began to crumble. It was exposed that they had put their faith in the power of the Roman legion, Rome's armed forces. They had put their faith in the power of Roman wealth. They believed that Rome had a superior culture, superior to the rest of the world. And they even believed, many, the idea that God would specially bless and protect Rome because it had become Christian. And that God had specially blessed Rome to spread the gospel to the world. Well, in the waning years of the 4th century AD, that faith was shaken. On August 9th, 378, the Roman legions were defeated, routed by the Visigoths at the Battle of Adrianople. That kind of event was unheard of. And even the Roman emperor at the time, Valens, was killed in the battle. And 32 years after that, in August of 410 AD, the unthinkable happened. The city of Rome itself, the Eternal City, was sacked and looted by the Visigoths, the supposedly inferior Visigoths, who came down from the north and conquered the city of Rome itself. It was the first time in almost 800 years that Rome had fallen to an outside invader. Now, I think it's probably difficult for people in our time, and particularly people like us who are so accustomed to our security, it's difficult for us to imagine the shockwave that passed through the Roman Empire with news that the city of Rome had fallen to the Visigoths. The Christian theologian and church leader Jerome summed it up this way. He said, "If Rome can perish, can anywhere be safe?" Well, in North Africa, there was a Christian church leader and a theologian who didn't panic. His name was Augustine of Hippo. He's probably within the top five most influential Christian thinkers of all time. In response to the fall of Rome, he wrote a book, and it's a big, thick book, and it's very difficult to read because, unfortunately, in the 4th century AD, they didn't have editors. But he wrote a monumental book, one of the most important books outside the Bible, one of the most important books ever written. It's called The City of God. And in it, he essentially said, "Christians, if you are shaken by the fall of Rome, that's because you've been putting your faith in the wrong city. Our citizenship," and he quoted directly from the Apostle Paul, "our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior. We do not put our faith in the institutions of this world. Our king is not Caesar. Our king is Jesus Christ. And our citizenship is not in Rome. Our citizenship is in heaven, which is the only truly eternal city." Well, today, almost 1,600 years later, Augustine's message is still timely, isn't it? Much as we love our country, our country is not the anchor of our faith. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now, that does not mean, sometimes Christians have taken that to mean we can neglect this world, we don't have to think about this world because we're all going to go to heaven. No, absolutely not. We are still called to be salt and light to this world. We are still called to love and serve in the name of Jesus. But we're not to place our faith in this fallen world. Our hope is not in American wealth. Our hope is not in American military power. Our hope is not in American influence in the world. Our hope is not in the power of science to solve this pandemic issue for us. Thank God for modern science. That's not where our hope lies. All of that will pass away. Dear brothers and sisters, everything we love, and this is a weekend when we remember how much we love our country, the United States of America. This country will pass away. Everything human will pass away. Only the city of God will endure forever. Now, that does not mean, none of this means, that in this world where Jesus has placed us and called us, that Jesus will bail us out whenever the going gets tough. No, we have work to do. Remember, the disciples said, is this the time you're going to fix everything? You're going to set up the kingdom and you're going to reign in Jerusalem and it's all going to be wonderful? And Jesus, I hear a bit of an edge in his voice when he says, it is not for you to know the day and the hour that's fixed by my Father. That's none of your business. You have work to do. You will be my witnesses. Wait right here in Jerusalem, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, that's your hometown. In Judea, that's the region around you. In Samaria, that's the place you don't want to go because you don't like those people. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, the Holy Spirit would come with power, Jesus promised. Now, what exactly were they promised? What exactly were they empowered to do? He said, you will be my witnesses. Now, in the Greek, the word for witness is martyreo. You will be my martyrs. You will lay down your lives for the sake of the gospel. In the Bible, to be a martyr is to have your life so filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, have your life so filled with the power of Jesus Christ, that you're not afraid of anything, not even death. When Christ transforms your life, when Jesus Christ comes into your life, brothers and sisters, you do not belong to yourself anymore. You belong to him. And your life, your death is in his hands. You know, we used to say this. Remember back so long ago when we used to gather together in a building? Someday we will again. Someday soon, let's pray. But every Sunday when we take the Lord's Supper, we say the question number one and the answer of the Heidelberg Catechism, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And the answer is that I belong, body and soul, in life and in death, not to myself, but to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who at the cost of his own blood has fully paid for all my sins. Your life does not belong to you anymore. And your calling in the power of the Holy Spirit is to be a witness to Jesus Christ in this broken world, to witness by word and deed to his saving love. This is why those who belong to Jesus Christ dare not ever indulge in despair about this world. As discouraging as it looks, despair is a sin. Hopelessness is a sin. Why? Because Christ reigns. He is ascended. God has exalted him to reign at the right hand of the Father. Nothing can happen without his permission. And he's in charge of the final outcome. As Billy Graham used to say, I've read the back of the book, God wins. One day he will restore everything to what God intended this world to be. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. And in the meantime, we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, are witnesses. And we are called into those places just as the original apostles were called to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. You and I are called right here in our own community, in the region of the Treasure Valley. And we're called into those neighborhoods where, like Samaria, where we don't want to go because we're not sure we trust those people and they're really different from us. And that's why we're not going in our own power. Jesus knew that we can't. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That means that there is no crisis. There is no loss. There is no evil. There is no pandemic. There is no virus that can take us out of his hands. There is no pandemic. There is no virus. There is no crisis that can defeat his ultimate purpose. If you believe that, you trust in that truth, you're not afraid of anything. Just a few days ago, on May 12th, a 40-year-old American missionary pilot named Joyce Lynn died in a plane crash. She was attempting to deliver COVID-19 supplies to a remote village in Papua, Indonesia. Joyce was a pilot with Mission Aviation Fellowship. You may be familiar with them. Their headquarters is right here in Nampa, Idaho. Joyce was transporting COVID-19 test kits and hand soap and school supplies. She was alone in the aircraft when her plane went down. David Holston, the president of MAF, said she gave her life serving the Lord in a way that was impacting others. Joyce Lynn was raised right here in the United States. She was the daughter of Taiwanese Christian immigrants. She became a Christian as a young girl. She came to Christ through an evangelistic outreach of her local church. She went on. She was a brilliant student. She earned 2 degrees in computer science from MIT. She worked in the secular IT field for a decade, but God kept tugging at her heart to use her skills in ministry. She graduated from Gordon Conwell Seminary in 2017. And at MAF, she found her calling where she could use her love of flying. She'd been a pilot for many years. She could use her love of flying along with her computer skills. Many people don't know about MAF. They're not just about airplanes. It's Mission Aviation Fellowship. They fly missionaries all over the place and supplies, but they also set up in remote places like Papua, set up satellite internet so that missionaries and local villages can have internet connection. At MAF, Joyce Lynn found a place where she could use her love of flying and her computer expertise to help people in need and share the good news of Jesus Christ. In a letter home just last December, she wrote, "Before anyone objects to Christians or Westerners changing the way other people live, it's important to know that Papua was not a tropical paradise before the arrival of Christian missionaries. Papuan tribes lived to kill one another. People lived in constant fear of other tribes and the spirit world." She also said, "It doesn't scare me to fly. If I die doing this, then I died doing what God called me to do, and I have no regrets about that." You know, there, brothers and sisters, there is unspeakable evil in this world. And sometimes it seems, to human perception, it can seem that things are just getting worse and worse. And we worry about the future. And we sometimes wish it would all just come to an end. Lord Jesus, are you going to establish your kingdom now? Just come down and fix it all. Well, I want you to remember two things. Remember those Christians in the fourth century and remember Augustine. Which city are you placing your faith in? But most of all, remember the words of Jesus. It's not for you to know the times and the seasons that are fixed by my Father. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Joyce Lynn, she did something that the secular world will never understand. Educated at MIT, she gave up a lucrative career in the tech business, the tech world. She gave up everything that this world calls success to serve the kingdom of Jesus Christ by serving people who couldn't give her anything that the world would count as the rewards of success. But she was serving Jesus, who laid down his life on the cross and who is raised from the dead to redeem this broken world. Joyce Lynn knew Jesus Christ, and so she was unafraid. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, and you and I can receive it too. Luke tells us that after Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, he was taken up out of their sight, and a cloud enveloped him, and he was gone. Now, that event is called the Ascension. It's one of the most important events recorded in the Bible, and unfortunately, we often overlook it as Christians. We make a big deal, and rightly so, about the birth of Jesus. We celebrate every December, and every year we remember Holy Week. We remember his triumphal entry to Jerusalem. We remember Good Friday when he laid down his life, when he gave his life for us on the cross. And of course, the biggest day of the church year, we remember Easter. We celebrate his resurrection. We often overlook his ascension, and that's a mistake, because what the ascension means is that Jesus Christ is exalted to the right hand of the Father, and he reigns. He is exalted. And this means that his ministry is not just confined to Judea and Galilee, but his reign is over all creation. Hope in Christ. Don't get paranoid. Don't circle the wagons. Don't start looking to the clouds. You don't need to go to Papua. You don't need to fly an airplane. You don't need to go to Guatemala, although I really challenge you to consider being a sender. And with prayer and financial support, let's support Preston and Abby. But you don't need to go to Guatemala. You can serve Jesus right here, going to the people in your orbit, your friends and neighbors, your family members, who need to know the saving love of Jesus Christ. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord Jesus, we give all thanks and praise to you, and we bow the knee to you. You are Lord of all, and you are exalted as King, the eternal King. you reign over all, and one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. One day every corner of creation will acknowledge your reign. Lord, we thank you that we have the privilege of acknowledging you now. And we pray, Lord, pour out the Holy Spirit on us once again. Pour out the Holy Spirit on us in a fresh way. Blow away our fears, that we may be bold witnesses to your saving love. And we pray it in your strong name, Lord Jesus, and for your sake. Amen.